Good Saturday morning and welcome to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Carnell in with you on this Saturday morning. Looks a little gloomy back toward the west, so I don't know if we got weather moving in or what's going on. But anyway, it's Saturday and there's a lot to get to on this Saturday morning as I try to work on all this stuff. I'm trying to, you know, this intro wasn't real good and now my music's not playing and got all kind of issues on this Saturday morning, so I don't know what's going on, but I'll get it figured out here in just a few minutes. We got a lot to talk about as there it is. I knew I could figure it out. I don't know if that's quite the song I wanted to come on, but, you know, whatever. I like to listen to it in my ears, get a little background music going on. But Hardin County basketball this week, we were in Scotts Hill on Tuesday night, last night in Tishomingo County over in Iuka. And we'll talk about those games, a thriller in the boys' game as it came down to the wire. We'll tell you about that coming up a little bit later on. Bowl games today, we'll have the schedule. Take a look at what's up for college football bowl games. Do you care about them? Do you not? Everybody opting out of the bowl games. Then you got the, what is it, the Division II. You got their playoffs going on, championship games, semifinal games, all that today. And then NFL, there's, I think, three games in the NFL today. So a lot of football today. If you want to sit back, it looks like it may rain. So just sit back and relax in the house and enjoy some football, some basketball on. Tennessee's on later tonight as they're in San Antonio. They'll take on North Carolina State in a tournament there. So got that to look forward to on this Saturday. Next week, the River City Classic. It'll start on the 21st and run through the 23rd. That'll be at Michaela Welch Gymnasium. We'll talk more about that with the coaches this morning and kind of get a schedule of when the Tigers will be in action and the Lady Tigers, and tell you when we'll be there. We'll be there with them. As long as they're there, we'll be there right here on 93.5 FM. All-Star game last Friday night, two Tigers involved in a thriller, Adam Harris and Carter Smith. They were playing up in Clarksville on Friday in the East-West game. And talking to Coach Smith about that, 90-yard drive by Carter to win the game for the West. And so congratulations to Adam and Carter. And we've seen Carter do that a few times this year. We've seen the Tigers do that a few times, come from behind, a couple of last-minute drives. And we had one 90-yard drive to win a game. I think that was against Lexington, if I'm not mistaken. And so a 90-yard drive for Carter and his team as they go down the field and win it at the buzzer. So congratulations to those guys. And wish I could have been there. Wish I could have seen that. And I'm sure it was a thriller for everybody involved. Coach Kirk and Coach Geyer will be in here in just a few minutes. We'll talk some Hardin County basketball next right here on 93.5 FM. Sports Talk headed your way. Coach Brandon Kirk will join in, and we'll see what he has to say about the Scotts Hill game and last night over in Tisch County, and then also what's ahead for the Tigers. That's coming your way next right here on 93.5 FM, back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Man, I'm off to a rough start on this Saturday morning. Can't seem to get it all together sometimes. At 2 a.m., I was up at 2 a.m. this morning. Maybe that's why I'm having a rough start. 3 hours sleep on Thursday night. getting up Friday, the Friday morning show. So I'm working on not eating sleep for a couple of days, but it's okay. I've never had to have a lot of sleep. You?
Sleep great, but I'm not 3 hours. I'm more about a 7 hour guy, probably.
Yeah, I do better if I'm 5-6 hours.
That's
good enough for me. Sometimes a 15-minute power nap is good enough.
Naps are good.
Oh, naps are great. It's just I don't get to take a lot of them. I'm having trouble with my chair, Ryan. About broke my legs a while ago when you walked in. I hit the button that sets it down, and it set right down on top of my ankles. But I held it together while I was talking. So, anyway, we're trying to get a hold of Brandon. He is gone AWOL. So maybe we can get him. There is no service down there where he's at. So it depends on, what's going on down there.
Right. It's worse than when Coach Carp would be driving through the unknowns of Alabama, I think. Worse service, so.
Yeah. Got that right. I'll tell you what, though. If you text him and say, hey, you want to go on the air, man, he's got great service.
He'll pop up.
He does. He'll run somewhere. He'll go buy a cell tire or climb up it or something like that. He's going to get on air. But anyway, let's talk some Hardin County basketball. The men had a couple of games this week. Scotts Hill on Tuesday night and then last night in Tisch County. Let's go back to Scotts Hill and Ryan, another difficult start, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Kind of a slow start, and it seems like a little bit this bunch of guys that you got right now, they kind of start a little bit slow and then they catch up. So I know that you're sitting over there as a coach, you know, this is a head shaker and a head scratcher, and they had to fight their way out of that one. But let's go back to the first half. They had a kid over there, I think it was a Smith kid. Don't remember him over here, but I remember him now because he lit us up 19 points in the first half alone.
Yeah, Hayden Smith, he's a senior for them. He's been a three-year starter. When we played him here, we held him to one field goal that first game. And he's a really good player. Like Coach McLean after the game was like, man, we couldn't make a shot. Part of it, he gave us credit, but part of it, too, was like we just didn't shoot it well. And we knew going into that game that he was going to be the vocal point of what they try to do offensively. And he's one of the best catch-and-shoot guys off screens that we'll play all year, getting his feet set, one-dribble pull-ups, just coming off either side, right shoulder, left shoulder. I mean, he's a really good high school scorer, honestly, for somebody that's not – overly quick or overly athletic or big. I mean, he's a 5'11 guard, but can get in the paint, can finish with either hand, can shoot off either hand. He's a really good player, and he came out and lit us up early. And not just him, but I think they hit 5 threes in the first 4 minutes alone. I mean, it was a barrage from three and by multiple guys, and they came out and punched us in the mouth early.
Yeah, and they seemed a little bit – more comfortable in their own surroundings than they did in game one here. And there's a big difference in game one and then going into that game Tuesday night. A lot of basketball has been played. I remember last week you had talked about them, that they had lost a lot of close games. Mm-hmm. They've been in the games but just seemed to not be able to find a way to win it at the end.
Yeah, they Coach McLean, they lost a huge senior class last year, and he knew early Smith, number one, and then number two, Johnson. Those were the two guys back that played a lot of minutes, but a lot of those guys had not played a lot of minutes, and he knew early it was going to be kind of figuring out roles and different things, and you've seen the difference already from game one to Tuesday night, and they're just going to keep improving. They beat Clifton last week, who – is a really good basketball team. We played them earlier in the year. So they've won. They played Chester County to single digits close. They've played really good competition and played close and won some close games. But they keep improving. Like I said, they came out early and made some shots for multiple guys and just were playing with energy, and we dug ourselves a hole. But once that settled down after that first about 4 or 5 minutes, we outplayed them, I think, the rest of the game. But it was that first 4 or 5 minutes, they just came out and
yeah, got us in a 17-2 yeah. hole. So yeah. When you do that and you get your timeout, I mean, what's going on in the huddle, the process of your mentality to your players, and what are you trying to express to them? Is it more of a just, hey, just settle down, we're okay, or, you know, what are you trying to – the message you're trying to get
to? I think part of it is you're trying to get them fired up. I think you're trying to talk about some things we're not doing well at the time and just figuring it out. This has been a thing, like we've talked about with us. You can go back to – early in the year, I mean, we play Walnut on a Monday night, kind of start off slow. Next night, go to Adamsville, we're up 20-0 in the first quarter. Central Alabama, start off slow. Go to Fayette Academy, start off hot. Mm-hmm. Start off slow against Scotts Hill. Then you go to last night, we start up, we're up 10-3. So it's kind of – and that's going to happen in basketball. Sometimes you're just not going to play well and early, and the other team will, and they're going to make some tough shots. But, like, we're just trying to figure that out. I mean, that's part of it. But figuring out what makes us click from the jump, and that's part of it early. We got to start figuring it out. But when you have guys in new roles, that plays a part in it too. And football guys maybe being a little unsure of themselves early. So it all kind of adds up. But it's getting to the point now where we've got to – hopefully we're finding that fix and going to start off games better. And I think we did that last night. But, credit to Scotts Hill for the way they started too. It wasn't just about us. It was about them. And they came ready to play.
Yeah, we go into halftime, and what was your halftime message? You don't have to get into details of that, but we're down by a pretty good margin, and then we come out. It's a totally different basketball team that comes out.
I think it was just challenging some guys, challenging some of the older leaders, because it's about them. I mean, it's about us, but it's about what they want for themselves and what they want for the season. And I think that was kind of the message at halftime. It's like, hey, I mean, yeah, we did beat them 15 earlier in the year. That game's over. Yeah. They're beating us 15 right now. And, just getting some guys to not play harder, but just the kind of some maybe nonchalantness of it. And I mean, we came out in the second half and held them to 10 points. They scored more points in the first 4 minutes of the game than they did the entire second half. And, just staying locked in from the jump. And I think part of our thing sometimes, too, is maybe we make a shot and then now it amps us up. But if we miss a shot, it kind of amps us down. You can't be like that. You've got to kind of be even keeled and understand you're not going to make every shot, but you got to do the little things when you don't do that. And that's been a big thing message with us. And we did that really well in the second half, and we did it in the second quarter too. We played well in the second quarter. They were making some tough shots as well, but we really guarded. We found number one in the second half and made him uncomfortable, did a really good job of running him off the three-point line and forcing him into traffic in the lane and just walling up and not bailing him out and fouling and making some other guys beat us. And then we started making some shots that we can make and that we didn't make in the first half. But, just resiliency and battling on the road and making timely plays, little plays. I mean, you go into the fourth quarter – it's a 1-point game, and Lamarion White takes a charge right there under the rim and takes away an and one. Huge rebound by Tanner Davis off a missed shot to get it. We were up one. Just little stuff like that. Loose ball here and there. Lamarion White with an offensive rebound late in the fourth quarter to get us an extra possession. Just little stuff like that you see, the extra plays, the hustle plays, diving on the floor, taking the charge more than just – putting the ball in the hole, and that's what you got to have. And we did that in the second half and just rallied back and played like we're capable of playing in the second half.
Yeah, and I noticed that Tanner kind of struggled in the first half. I don't know, his kids, I don't know what was going on, and he's usually real aggressive, and he kind of struggled a little bit, but man, the second half he come back and then he knocked down, if I remember this right. I had just told Bill, I said, Tanner's got to get involved, and he's got to get involved offensively now if we're gonna make this comeback all the way. And he pops two threes back to back. Then we get to go to the free throw line. Wasn't exactly perfect at the free throw line. Probably could have put it away a little bit earlier. But like you said, so many key plays down there toward the last few minutes and key baskets. And, you know, you can go all night and not make baskets, but it's when you make them.
Right. Timely shots is such a huge thing that some people don't really understand. Is they may look at a field goal percentage and say, hey, y'all shot this from the field, but it's when did you make them? And we were talking about that last night at Tisch in the Corinth game. He was asking about it, and I said, they didn't really shoot it great, but they just made timely shots. They made timely shots, and that's a thing. And Tanner did that in the second half. They did a really good job of kind of taking him out early in the game and made him uncomfortable, putting him in spots on the floor where he was kind of indecisive. And then once he finally made one, it started rolling for him. And we just found a way to win. Carson Phillips fouls out. Jacob Saunders comes in for him late in the game and makes – couple defensive plays. He got a stop on number one. He got a huge rebound in traffic late in the fourth quarter. Just little stuff from multiple guys, and that's what I was proud of. But like you said, going the free throw line, I think I jinxed us a couple weeks ago. The first five or six games of the year, we were shooting 80%, and since I said that, we've struggled from the line. So maybe I gave us the announcer's jinx, but got to make free throws late and do the little stuff late. But finding a way to win is huge, and wish we could have put it away a little earlier, but that's okay. We learned from it, and we're still able to come out victorious.
Yeah, it was a huge win and a good comeback win, and you fought. And that's the one thing I took away from that game, because that game got chippy at the end. A lot of crowd chirping their student section, which you're going to get that. That's part of the game. That's what makes the game fun. Mm-hmm. And some fans, and it makes it feel a whole lot better when you hit that shot and that buzzer that sounds and you're on top. And all that chirping stops at that point. But and that's the way it should be. I mean, these are two teams that are real close. They play each other a lot. They probably know each other from other sports as well. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, a big win over Scotts Hill. Let's take a timeout. We head over to Tisch County last night in a thriller over there against the Braves of Tishomingo County. We'll take a quick timeout. This is Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Ryan, this biscuit is just staring at me. I shouldn't have opened it, number one. And I did, and it's just there, and I can't get my eye off of it. I can't concentrate right now. Yeah, I'm going to cover it up.
Yeah.
There. Let me put that over there so I don't have to look at it.
Just push it away.
Yeah. I probably need to push it away anyway. You know, this is a season to eat. Coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, just gorge yourself.
It's the when you coach basketball and then you've got Thanksgiving and Christmas, and yeah, it's not
an easy task.
It's not the best time to be healthy, but you just got to push through sometimes.
I like the way we have rattled the cage of Coach Carter.
No, he's fired up.
Yeah, he wants to come on here, doesn't he?
Guarantee it. Yeah. Well, he said he's got to work at 10, so. Got to call games at 10, referee.
Yeah. So is that our cue to call him early or something?
You never know. He's probably
at he's not a Tiger right anymore. He has to wait.
Yeah, he's not a he's turned in his maroon for red. So
exactly, he made his decision. He'll have to live with it.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Last night we go to Tishomingo County. I was trying to think. Have we played them in a while? I get them and Alcorn Central kind of confused a little bit.
We played Tisch at home last year, early in the year.
We didn't go over there.
We did not go down there. It was just we played them at home last year. We went down there this year. We've played them in the past. I don't know if we've played them at the varsity level since I've been back coaching, but I know we did when I was in high school, and before that, when I know when Coach West was there, they went down there a couple times. But we play them in JV a lot, freshman stuff, and it's a quick drive down there, and they play good basketball. The girls are really good. The boys are – it's always competitive, and so we try to keep them on, even though it's a cross state lines. But
yeah, it's not a bad drive, though. It's about a 40-minute drive over there. It's not too bad. Don't go through that area. I was telling Bill last night, I don't remember the last time we've been over there, but a lot of things have been built along that way. It's good to see stuff going that way. Like I said, I don't travel that way very often. But a good game last night. We came out and played – excuse me. Man, I've been talking a lot here in the last 2 days. But play a good game over there against a team that when you look at them, look, Tess, I mean, they look like a matchup, kind of like what we would play during the season and what we've been playing. But you had some issues going into that game when you came up. You had some guys sick that were out. Mm-hmm. You had a couple of guys that wasn't too good a shape that was playing. So you had a lot of things happening behind the scene.
Yeah, we did. Had a couple kids out with sickness the day before, and even going into the day of, we didn't really know who was going to be healthy enough to play. And Lamar and White, who played a lot of minutes on Tuesday night, I think was probably our MVP of the game, honestly, just bringing the energy and the effort plays, taking the charge, loose ball, that little stuff that we talked about. He was out sick, and Jaden Davis, Tanner's brother, who's played some minutes for us off the bench and early in the year especially, he's out sick. And then Jackson Burdine, who is our starting point guard and second leading scorer, but a guy that kind of runs the show for us at the point guard spot, he pops up sick yesterday as well. So, kind of not knowing on Friday morning who's going to be ready to available to play. But, we go into the game and we had 10 guys available. And that's something we've talked about, some of those guys that are both, they play JV, they play varsity. Just told them you got to be ready to go. You never know when your number's called. And sickness occurs, especially during this time of the year. Injuries occur, foul situations. You never know what may happen in a high school basketball game or the events around it. And, so we bumped up Jacob Saunders into the starting lineup last night. JT Smith goes from really a two guard to the point. Tanner's there. He was definitely not 100%. Carson Phillips battling sickness as well. He started, but a lot of our guys off the bench have not played a lot of minutes this year that were available. And so we talked about it going in, man, just do your role. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. When your number's called, play with energy, effort, make the effort plays, loose ball, charge, getting a rebound, moving the ball. Don't think you have to be a scorer or I have to take this shot because so-and-so's out. Just be you. And it was a slugfest both ways. He had a couple guys out sick as well, and that's what we talked about is maybe it kind of canceled each other out. But, just doing it without some key guys last night and, you prepare kids to be in that situation, but until they're in it, it's different. And it was a war of attrition.
It was
a battle, and you could just see it on the floor with obviously some kids for us being out, some kids being in some different roles, but even some of the kids that we had playing, just you could see it as a coach, just you could just tell their by body language and on their face that a lot of sickness going around.
Yeah.
And,
I noticed that last night because, the first half was pretty much all us. And then the second half, they made a run coming out. And then it became one of those, you know, back and forth type games. But, you know, it's good to have senior leadership too, and a kid like JT, like you're talking about being a two guard, he likes to shoot threes. All of a sudden, he's a quarterback, so he's got to make things go.
Yeah,
and he can be good at that because he can be kind of a slasher type of guard. So you know he didn't shy away from going.
No, he's not, and we knew that. We had confidence in JT being able to do that. He played on the ball a lot last year. JT is a Swiss Army knife. He's not the biggest guy, but he can do a little bit of everything. He can shoot it. He can handle it. He can get in the paint. He guards well. IQ, making the extra pass, getting in the passing lane. Just he does. He's not necessarily the biggest kid. He's not necessarily the fastest kid, but he just does stuff on the basketball floor that is a coach that you don't really teach. It's just kind of they have it in them. And he just makes the right play and a lot. And so we had confidence in that. But when you move him up, but you also take out Jackson, obviously, who is the primary ball handler. But then you take out Lamarian, who handles the ball a lot as well. And then you take out Jaden Davis, who is kind of that next guy in that role that could give you some minutes. We didn't really have another backup guard, I would say, or backup point guard. And so we knew – I told JT, I said, you got to be ready to go. And I think he played about 31 minutes and 50 seconds out of 32. I think I got him a quick blow at the end of a quarter, but he just battled. He handled the ball against pressure, full court pressure most of the night, made plays. And that was a big thing with us is I wanted JT and Tanner to have the ball as much as they could. And like you talked about being a quarterback, that's what I told Coach McGee and Coach Ritter. It's kind of like when you take Jackson out, who handles the ball obviously a lot for us, it's kind of like playing with a backup quarterback because you're having to shift guys around. And so maybe the playbook's not as deep now because you're moving some parts. And but they just played hard, man, and made the right plays and adjusted to what we were trying to do and adjusted to the game. And Tish had a size advantage on us the majority of the game, but we were able to use our quickness and speed to take advantage of that at times too. So it was just a gutsy performance, and dealing with injuries or sickness and some guys out, a little banged up, and just finding a way.
Yeah, and you know, I was talking about Tanner there toward the end. I kept telling Bill, I said, he's not right, or, you know, or like we talked, he ain't right. I can just tell he ain't right. So I think after one series, he come over there. I don't know that you noticed it. They took a timeout, and I could tell. I said he's cramping. You know, he kept holding his chest, and he had that look in his eyes. But I tell you what, it takes kids like that to gut it out and to play for a coach, and they're playing for you, and he gutted it out and made a key shot, got to the free throw line. Carson Phillips is another one that I have seen, not that he was sick last night, but I mean that I have seen that from the start of the year till right now, he's getting better and better and more comfortable in his role inside. Mm-hmm. He's a typical Hardin County post player.
Mm-hmm.
Not blessed with, you know, 6'7", 6'8", size, but, you know, you have to get in there and just battle. And, and that's what he does. He's doing his role very
does.
Well.
He's a guy that has come a long way. You can't speak enough about Carson Phillips. The improvement from his freshman year to now is astronomical. And a kid that works and just works, says yes, sir, plays hard and with energy, gets on the boards, gets in the pack. I think he's second on our team in steals right now. Like, he's a guy that just – he makes little plays too. He plays with energy. He got in foul trouble last night, and Corb Smith had to step up, a guy that has not played a ton of minutes for us this year. He's played a lot at the JV level and has played really well, and he's kind of in that backup role. And when you have some guys out, guess what? He gets bumped up too. And so he comes in and he battles, just doing what we had to do. And that's what I was proud of our guys. Is we just had some guys step up and play in some roles that they hadn't played in a lot this year and made some plays. But like you said, Tanner, just being a leader, I looked at him during one timeout. I said, are you good? And he said, I'm good. And so we rolled with it. And I think he played all 32 minutes, which is tough to do regardless if you're sick or not sick. And just a warrior. And didn't have his best shooting night, but wheeled us late in the second half just by making energy plays and still led us in scoring. But proud of him and JT as well, just being stepping up and being that senior. But a guy like Jacob Saunders too comes in, starts, had 7 points, played well defensively. He's playing some more extended minutes too. You know, we had a kid, Matthew Plunk, comes in the fourth quarter, a guy that's not played a lot of minutes this year for us. And he comes in and he has a key floater there in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And we were in the press, and off the backside, he rotates and gets a deflection out of bounds to save a layup. And just some little stuff, a guy that, like I said, has not played a lot of minutes, but his number was called there, and he made some plays. So just all around, from top to bottom, coaching staff as well, Coach Ritter, Coach McGee, her tremendous help to me during games, just bouncing stuff off them and seeing some things that they might see that I don't. And that's part of it, being a head coach. Sometimes you don't see the little stuff as much because you're looking at the overall picture. And Coach Ritter, Coach McGee, both been head coaches in the past. They do a tremendous job helping us, keeping guys engaged on the bench in their roles. And it was just a team effort. And, you know, just proud of them. Just proud of battling and just being a warrior and having guys step up. It's fun to watch as a coach.
And I noticed, too, Callahan played a lot last night, too. And so you got a lot of kids out there that normally are not going to play in those type games. And that's what we were talking about on air. This is really good for your basketball team as far as building depth, because typically some of those kids probably are not going to be in that type game that we were in toward the end of it.
Right. And, and you're talking about like Cole County, a sophomore that – and when you're a sophomore at a school our size, it's hard to play. I mean, it's hard to – especially in basketball, when you only play 5 kids at a time, it's hard to get minutes sometimes. And but he stayed ready. He came in defensively, had a couple rebounds, had a big rebound late in the fourth quarter. He battled, just trying to do what he does. He's a guy that's physical, will rebound the ball, plays hard. So, yeah, he comes in, does a really good job of just being a glue guy. And I'm just proud of him. And, you know, we get the ball there after they tie the game up. We call timeout and talked about what we kind of wanted to do and as far as what I thought that they would do defensively to us, and with about 8 seconds. And I told JT, I said, if you get this coming off the screen, I said, go make a play, man. Like, this is your time. I said, if they help off, I said, you know, we have Tanner trailing you right there. To give it back to him, kind of like we say, buzz in the middle of the floor, catching it on the go. But JT catches it, makes a move, he's gone, and just made a play. Just made a play, and a guy that, like we talked about, a different role, but stepping up and making the play and hitting it game winner. And so I was proud. I was just proud of all of them battling through all that. And you could see it. It was just a slugfest. And it was for Tish as well. They had some guys out and some sickness just like we did, but we won it. And it was fun being a part of that and just seeing some guys make some plays that have not been in those roles. So that was really fun as a coach.
The Tigers win it on last second shot. JT Smith comes down and hits a little floater in there and it knocks it down. Clock hits zero, and that's all we cared about, and we got out of there, and we get a win. Next week, River City Classic coming to town. We'll talk to Ryan about that. Also, if he'll stay in here with me a little bit, I want to talk a little bit about the girls and their games. You can help me out with that and see if I saw what I saw, and you can tell me if I'm crazy. And you probably will. Yeah, we'll test it out. All right, we'll talk more about what's coming up for the Tigers next week, some Lady Tiger basketball, and we've got some bowl games starting this Saturday. So more sports talk right after this timeout. That's a good song for what happened last night. I didn't even mean to do that. I guess you're asking how I'm feeling, and we'll just do it day by day. That's what kind of way you were last night, wasn't it?
Sure.
Good timing for that song. We do this with the music because Ryan loves music, and he's just curious to see what's coming on next.
It's always like me, a surprise.
Yeah, it's always. I like it. I like all kinds.
You never know how a song can fit your mood.
No, you know what? It's funny, but you kind of do that. Like during football season, depending on, you know, what we did and how we played, I kind of themed the
music.
I don't know if anybody ever caught that or not, but, you know. But anyway, got a big win last night. River City Classic coming to town. I think first annual River City Classic. Mm-hmm. I say first annual, that means you're going to do it every year, but y'all will probably try to do that. But tell us a little bit about, well, first of all, when are we playing, who's coming in, and kind of what's set up for next week starting on the 21st?
Yeah, it's a we're calling it the River City Classic. One of our former coaches kind of – we talked about it and kind of gave us the idea and kind of did some background work on it and anyway, it got put into the works, and we just sent out some feelers to see if teams would be interested in participating in it. And sure enough, we had it filled pretty quickly and have 8 teams coming, both boys and girls, starting on Thursday morning at 9 o'clock when we're going to play. So Thursday night, it'll be like normal. The girls will play at 6. We'll play at 7:30. And we're playing Frank Hughes on that night, both teams. On Friday night, same thing. We're going to play at 6, or the girls will play at 6. The boys will play at 7:30 against West Carroll. And then on that Saturday, the boys are going to play at 1:30 against Covington High School, and the girls will play the nightcap that night against H.W. Byers out of Mississippi, a team most people are probably not familiar with, but a team out of Mississippi. But we'll have games going all day starting at 9 o'clock on that Thursday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it'd be 8 games a day, 4 boys, 4 girls. Teams that are coming, obviously us, Frank Hughes boys and girls, West Carroll boys and girls, Covington boys are coming, Shoals Christian School out of Florence girls are coming. Lexington High School, both boys and girls. Adamsville High School, both boys and girls. Baldwin, Mississippi is coming. Mumford boys are coming. Scotts Hill girls are coming. I think I may have hit on everybody. H.W. Byers is the other one, I think. But both boys and girls there. So 8 games a day. A lot of people are excited about it, getting ready, and we've got officials lined up, and Coach Smith, that's what he was talking about last night, said that our assigner of officials said that a lot of the officials are looking forward to it, to coming. But it's an all-day thing. The admission will be $10, so it's up more than what is normal, but that's what happens when you can watch 8 games
in a
day.
You're getting a lot of basketball and for that. Yeah.
There will also be a 3-day pass for $25 available at the gate. For $25, a 3-day pass. So a lot of good basketball, a lot of exciting matchups. Some local teams, Lexington and Adams will be playing, boys and girls. Lexington Clifton boys will be playing. I say Clifton, Frank Hughes will be playing. So a lot of interesting matchups, some teams that we've played and have seen. And I think I think they're excited about it. And it should be a fun 3 days. We've got a lot of good matchups. In some different schools, you got some different styles of play. You got some Mississippi schools, Alabama, you know, kind of some schools to the eastern side. Some you got Covington, so you kind of got teams from all around, and I think that'll make it fun. And a lot of the coaches are excited just about coming down here. They know that Hardin County always brings a good crowd and supports basketball, and so they're looking forward to that. And love playing in our facilities. I had a coach say that we have the nicest gym that they go to, and I agree with that. I think we've got one of the best gyms in West Tennessee, no doubt. And so they're looking forward to it and just playing basketball. And It'll be a fun 3 days.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. If you like basketball, and you know, and I know it's Christmas break, and there are a lot of people in, but that's a great way to go and kind of break things up. Go out there and watch some teams that you normally won't see, like yeah. Covington, and
we will hope to probably on Monday post that schedule out on Facebook page and our Facebook page and Twitter and things like that, so people can get a look at not just when we're playing, but when some of these other teams are playing and they say, hey, we want to come watch, you know, Adamsville and whoever play at 3 o'clock, and just like you said, just enjoy basketball and get a little break from the family and festivities maybe, and just come watch, and it'll be fun, and we're looking forward to it. Hope it goes well, and we've got some exciting matchups on our side. We've played Frank Hughes boys. It was a 2-point game early in the year, so we've got them again. We got a West Carroll team who was in the state tournament a couple years ago, a team I don't know. I'm not saying we've never played them, but I don't recall playing them.
Yeah, and I don't remember them either.
Then you got a team like Covington coming in, and so it'll be fun. A couple different styles of play that we're looking forward to playing, but looking forward to it, and then on the girls' side as well. So it'll be fun 3 days, and just enjoy basketball.
Speaking of the girls, the Lady Tigers went to Scotts Hill, got a big win over Scotts Hill. They're proud of their girls' basketball program over there. They've had a good one. They've been to the state a few times, and got a big win over there, won by 15, played well from start to finish. And, Ryan, you've been a part of that team last year. You know, one of the things that we talked to Coach Kirk about, that they've done really well in this 5-game win streak, going back to Central Alabama's defense. Defense has been really big for them, and it's created a lot of offensive opportunities too. And they've taken advantage of it. And up until Tuesday night, they have shot the ball really well as also.
They did. Scotts Hill kind of played a 1-2-2 kind of matchup zone. Our girls did a really good job of making extra pass, skipping the ball on both sides of the floor. Obviously, Neely, I think she had 20-22 somewhere in there in that game, shot the ball really well, got on the offensive glass. Coach McGee and I were watching that game, and I asked Coach Kirk that next day after we got our stats. I think we had 18 offensive rebounds, so we did it. Even when we missed, we were down there cleaning it up and kicking the ball back out. But going back defensively, their point guard, number 5, I believe it's Hampton, Julie Hampton, and she's a really good player. I think she had 20 in the mid-20s against us here.
She got in the 30s. I mean, okay. She lit us up
kinda,
in the second half.
Yeah, just kind of took over the game in the second half, and we were up in her from the jump, and we did a really good job of guarding her and taking away. They love to run up cross screens on the post and dive their post girls and kind of play off that, and we did a really good job of just guarding them defensively, made some adjustments from that first game, and made open shots and played really well. I think maybe the best game we've played all year that I've seen, just from as far as competition level and as a whole group, I think that may have been the best. And it was a good game. And like you said, Scotts Hill's proud of they've been in the state tournament recently, and always have a good program under Coach Chandler over there. So our girls played well and made some adjustments from that first game, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot of answers. And you know, when you got the gymnasium named after you, you've been there for a while. That's like right. Coach Lott over at McNary right. Central, you know, when the right. floor's named after you. You've right. been there a while and won a few games. But, you know, in watching him and the way we played, he just really didn't have any answers. He tried. I mean, you know, quick timeouts, trying to get things lined up. But we were just clicking that night. And it was good to see a 5-game winning streak and getting it on the road over there. Last night, though, we ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw, as we say, against a really good team. Coach Kirk had talked about they're going to be probably the best team we've played all year, and they may be a team that might be playing for a state title in their division over in Mississippi. So in saying all of that, we get over there. I was excited about that game. I wanted to see where we were at against teams that we could potentially play in our district or moving forward in the region or something mm-hmm. like that. And they got after it, their tenacity of on defense and offense, mm-hmm. and we talked about it off the air, was unbelievable how he had them playing. There was no let up from the first team to the second or part of the third team. They played the same way. But anyway, it was just a little bit much for us to handle. And I will say this, and you can agree or disagree with it, but I think a lot of it is, you know, you got to have that point guard. And like last night in that boys game, I think if Jackson's in that game and White's in that game, we win that game by 10 or 15 points last night. Because we lost offense, obviously, and our guy, and that frees everybody else up to do their roles that they're used to.
Right.
Last night we had two guards with Riley and Lily Beth basically trying to break a press, and they haven't been in that situation. They haven't been in that role. So this is a first for them to really be pressured from the time that the ball's tipped until, you know, the end of the game. So I guess I read that correctly, that, you know, we made a lot of mistakes on ourselves ourselves. But the question I've got, I want to ask you is, I sound like Kurt now, I'm asking one of these long 5-minute questions. The question I want to ask you is, as a coach and you play too, when you go up against a team that pressures you like they do, I mean, they seem to like be in every throwing lane, up in your face. When that happens, your body clock, mentally, you speed up, you start doing things that you typically don't do either, and it just seemed like we never could get in our offense like we wanted to.
Yeah, you know, Tisch County girls, their ball pressure defensively is as good as you'll see at the high school level. They did a really good job, and like you're talking about, when you and this is what we talk about, sometimes when you pressure – it's not I got the steal. It's the pass after they make the pass that leads into we bobble the ball out of bounds because we're worried about somebody being in our grill or, you know, just the little stuff after the initial play. But, you know, our girls have some of them have not played against that style yet, some of our younger girls. And so it's an adjustment and it's a learning experience and you know, just figuring out kind of how do we go about doing some different things. And so that's a learning process from any level when you have people that have not been in that situation. But, you know, it
– And nothing went right either that night.
Ball pressure, though, it's like you said, it's as much mentally as it is physically, just – the wear of somebody being in your grill from the jump. And I was a point guard, played against a lot of teams that played similar style like that. And it's such a burden to be that person that everybody else is relying on to get the ball into the right spots. And so it's not an easy job. And sometimes it's an unforgivable job of being that person that everybody relies on to make the right play, and it just can take a toll on you physically, mentally, and they can kind of take you out of the game. And Tisch, that's what they do consistently, consistently for on film, watching them in the past. That's what they do. It doesn't matter who they're playing against, and So we knew, coach knew, they mapped it out during practice this week. Like it wasn't anything that they didn't know was not going to come. It's just a different speed and different aggression level. And so you got to adjust to that. But that takes time to do when you don't see it consistently. And so, you know, just learning from it. But it's being a point guard's not easy when you face pressure. Yeah. And so it's always good to have multiple ball handlers on the floor and when you can, and you know, just like you said, just learning from it and seeing a style that you don't see. And that's why you play different teams, because you got to learn how to adjust to different things. But
do you flush a game like that when you know, it's not a district game or anything like that. It's right. It's just a game early in the season. Do you flush it?
Yeah,
or maybe talk about it just a second.
I think you address it and you say, hey, we maybe did some of these things well. This is some stuff we didn't do well. Let's learn from it. Not that you just disregard it, but at the same time, you don't let it linger. But you, it's something obviously you address and look at and hope to learn from. But you know, then you roll into that next game, it's behind you. But hey, we can do this better. I can be better. We as a team can be better. You know, in different situations. But you know, it's a process, and that's why we talk about. That's why you play different teams and different styles early in the year to get prep for different styles when you play district games and in the district tournament and region, because teams play different styles, and it's not going to be, hey, we're really good at this and every team plays us this way. So you got to adjust to that, and that's boys, girls, any style of basketball. So it's just a process. It's a process. Yeah. It's something you learn from and move on from it, but at the same time, you got to take some things and work on some things. That's why you play.
Yeah, and it just happened to be, too, and probably a lot of what they did, it was our worst shooting night of the year so far, and nothing went right. I mean, even the 50-50 balls didn't go right. It seemed like everything went against us, and when you have a game like that, that's the way it is. And you, like you said, you address it, move on, and learn from it best you can. And hope you never see another team like that the rest of the season, but we will.
Yeah.
With Southside.
We will see some similar teams. But yeah, Tisch County girls, they'll be in the mix to be in the state championship mix for sure for their level. And but yeah, we'll see some similar styles so later throughout the year.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Real quick, Ryan, before we get out of here, bowl season is coming. Let's take a time out. We'll talk a little bowl season when we return. This is Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Steve Cornell along with Ryan Geyer, head coach of the Hardin County Tiger basketball team. Real quick, too, I wanted to mention one of our sponsors, Earl's Grill. Appreciate Earl's and all of our sponsors. But told him I'd get this word out there, and they're starting to open on Wednesday nights now. So from 4 to 8 on Wednesday, new time. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So go by, see Earl and all the gang over there at Earl's Grill in Crump, Tennessee. A fantastic dining experience with a lot of atmosphere. There's a little bit of everything over there. You've been over there. I've seen you over there. But, yeah, they're open on Wednesdays now. So give you somewhere else to go. Another option on a Wednesday night. Let's see, Ryan. Let me get my phone pulled up here. I had everything pulled up and – and then ADD took over. North Dakota State, Montana today at 3:30, maybe 2:30 our time. As a semifinal game, South Dakota State won big last night. They won it last year. You know, that's an interesting brand of football that they play. That North Dakota State team, they're kind of like the Alabama and the Ohio State of their division. They just win all the time. They get all the good players, and they'll be taking on Montana, which is another good team. The good things about those games is when they have to play in those outdoor stadiums where they play at,
right?
It is brutally cold and usually snowing and icing, and that's the kind of games I like to watch. Now, I'm down for that. I'll sit there and watch stuff like that all night long.
Yeah, it like you said, North Dakota State is the Alabama of FCS. Ridiculous. But, yeah, those games, when they mean something, especially, and it's 20 degrees, it makes it interesting and something fun to watch.
Bowl season is starting. The bowl game has already started. The Myrtle Beach Bowl, Ohio and Georgia Southern have kicked it off. Howard and Florida A&M at 11 today. That's a cricket celebration bowl. R&L Carrier New Orleans Bowl. Jacksonville State, they had a good year against Louisiana. Avocado from Mexico Cure Bowl. Miami of Ohio, Appalachian State. Miami of Ohio, 11-2. Appalachian State, a very good team. New Mexico State and Fresno State in the New Mexico Bowl. And UCLA and Boise State. I'm having trouble reading all that. They're playing tonight, California and Texas Tech. All these 6-6, 7-5 type teams starting bowl season off. But, you know, does anybody care anymore? That's the thing. Yeah, number one, they have so many. Number two, I was listening to a sports show yesterday and all the opt-outs. I mean, even some of these teams that are playing in some of the better bowls as bowl season goes along, they're opting out. Their quarterbacks are opting out. They're going to other places. A lot of these teams in these Division II and the smaller schools mm-hmm. in Division I, what is it, Group of Five?
Group of Five. Yeah.
Their quarterbacks are opting out because they're trying to go to an SEC school or a Big Ten school or something like that. I mean, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
It is. As a Memphis fan, they've had three guys that are starters enter the transfer portal that won't be playing in the bowl game. They've had a guy that's declared for the draft that – so I don't know if he's playing in the bowl game or not, but you deal with that. And then your Power Five schools, you still have guys hit the transfer portal, but you guys got guys sitting out for the draft and different things like that. And so they're not as – ever since the playoff came out, the bowl bowls have not meant as much, in my opinion. I think that it was like, well, we've got the national championship, but we're kind of playing in that the Rose Bowl or the Orange Bowl or Sugar Bowl. And now it's like, well, we're not in the playoffs. So, and that's just kind of our culture now anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they don't – unless it's your team playing, they're not as fun. But some people might not even know who's opted out anyway. So, I mean, at least get to watch football if you like football. But they're not as – enticing and as interesting, in my opinion, as even they were 15 years ago, 10 years ago.
I know Tennessee's lost most of their defensive backfield that started and some of their backups gone. Mm-hmm. Defensive end gone.
Right. And you have coaches leave too. Guys take coordinator jobs, taking head
coaching jobs. Like Duke's in a bowl game. They don't even have a head coach anymore.
And it's so you got all that, and they delay these things out 3 weeks after the year, and so it is what it is. It's all about the money, and we know that, but it's okay, and you at least get to watch your team one more time if they're in it. And Tennessee's
that's why I look at it. Yeah.
Centrist Bowl.
Well, you know what's funny about that game is there the talk up there is maybe Joe doesn't need to play. Let's see Nico. You know, let's get his career started. Mm-hmm. Of course, Joe's getting to go to the Senior Bowl, which. That's where he'll make some money if he performs. So, you know, when you got a quarterback, no matter where they go, you got a quarterback that may have an opportunity to go pro. You get in one of these lesser bowl games, and I'm not saying the Citrus Bowl is a lesser bowl game, but, you know, it's not the playoff. So you get in a New Year's Day bowl. You get an opportunity to play with your guys one more time. You got that going on, but you are a senior. You got to think about, man, I hope I don't take a shot to the knee or get a high ankle sprain, something like that. That's something to think about when you got this other opportunity.
It is.
Down the road.
A little bit. And, you know, like Joe Milton, for example, a guy that's on NFL draft boards that could move up, could move down, depending on how he plays in the bowl game, Senior Bowl, Combine, and you definitely want to be healthy for that because that could be his career and how much, money he makes, obviously, depending on where he goes. But, it's just a lot of factors, and it just kind of boils down to do you want to be with your guys or do you want to start your career early, or they get a lot of outside opinions from agents and coaches and parents, so it's just swayed. It's not as like we talked about a couple weeks ago, the jersey the team you're playing for doesn't mean as much to players now as it probably did 20 years ago even. And as you see with the portal, and it's about the money and about bettering their own situation. So we'll see. But I'd like to see Nico in that game.
Me too. I'd like to see him play. And they're really good defense. Iowa is. That's what they have built their team on. They stink at offense, but they're really good defensively. But you know, you're talking about Joe being on the. I'm calling him Joe, like me and him are buddies. You're talking about Joe Milton being on draft boards, which is kind of funny to Tennessee fans going through a couple of years with him. But I did hear some coaches talk about the professional game versus the college game now. And he may be better suited for that because you basically you don't spread that. They run the football, number one. They're under the center a lot. You usually got maybe one read on try to find single coverage. Mm-hmm. Whereas in college, they spread the field around. You got three, four different options you can do. Everything's a read option. You got a lot of things that you have to process real quickly. Mm-hmm. And not that they don't in the pros. I mean, you get all these elaborate designs of defensive backfields. But basically, in the pros, they're trying to find that single coverage. And once you find that, you know, that's your guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So they think with his arm strength.
Well, he's obviously got the physical traits. Arm strength, can run a little, run enough to make you respect it, and physically is a specimen. So he'll have opportunity. It's all about situation and fit and coaching staff, who you get put with, and when that opportunity arises. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of where he goes. If he's one of those guys that could be a late bloomer. I say a late bloomer on the draft boards, where it's kind of he goes under the radar, then mm-hmm. you start hearing talk about him. And so we'll see. But he's definitely got the physical attributes to perform.
When's Memphis play? What bowl are they in?
They're in the Liberty Bowl. So they're playing.
Oh, they're home.
They're staying at home.
Oh, man, that's got to stink for them.
It's usually an SEC team that gets put in that. But the way the SEC unfolded this year, they didn't have a team qualify for that spot. So Memphis is back in the Liberty Bowl playing Iowa State.
Oh,
and this is actually a rematch. They did this same thing in 2017.
Yeah.
So Iowa State won that one 21-20, I believe. So it's a rematch of that. But Memphis' quarterback coming back for his senior year, Seth Hennigan. Rock Taylor at wide receivers coming back. They've lost a couple guys to portal. So we'll see. It'll be kind of a patchwork there. But exciting season coming up next year.
You know, I'm just imagining, you know, you go into your team going, hey, we're going to a bowl game. Guys, appreciate the way y'all play. Man, we had a great season. Where are we going, coach?
Staying
at home.
That's right.
We're going to Liberty Bowl.
That's right.
But y'all to be familiar with it. But anyway, should be a fun bowl season if you're a college football fan. Of course, NFL today as well. There's three games on today as they start taking over Saturdays now. And so it'll be fun from here on out. Tigers will be in action on Thursday night, 6 and 7:30. The Lady Tigers will tip it off against Frank Hughes at 6 p.m. And then the Tigers will follow that with Frank Hughes to kick off the River City Classic. There'll be games all day long on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The Tigers will be back in action at 6 and 7:30 on Friday against West Carroll. And then 1:30 on Saturday for you guys?
Yes, 1:30.
1:30 mm-hmm. for the men. They'll play Covington. Mm-hmm. And then the girls play at 6:30. Is that correct?
7:30. Yep.
What'd you say,
HW Byers.
HW Byers comes into town. So that's your lineup as far as the Tigers go. Go out and support the River City Classic, though. And enjoy some college, or high school basketball. You'll see some different styles, like Ryan said, and you'll see some really good players as well, some that you won't normally see that's not on our schedule. So go out and enjoy that. $10 to get in the gate for all day, or if you want to buy a pass for all 3 days, it's $25, and you can contact the high school there or any of the coaches or Coach Matthew, or I mean AD Matthew Smith, and look on Facebook, Twitter. They've got Twitter pages there for both basketball teams, and right here on 93.5 FM too. We'll try to keep you up to date on everything that is going on around high school basketball. Next week, we'll see how things go. We may or may not be on. I'll let you know. It's getting Christmas time. I got family coming in. But if we're not, keep it tuned right here. We'll let you know what's going on. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a great New Year's. And stay safe and enjoy your family and go out and enjoy some high school basketball starting on Thursday night. So for all of our sponsors and listeners, thank you for tuning in. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Kristen over there on the other side. And for Ryan Geyer being in here with me this morning. Have a great rest of your Saturday. We'll see you hopefully next Saturday. We'll see. Right here on Sports Talk at 9 a.m. Enjoy your Saturday. So long.